Hi, welcome back to the Creative Human Podcast. This is Vanessa Farino, your host. I am super pumped to be able to wrap this season, Creatives Who Inspire, with our last guests. And I think this is the first time where we're having two guests at the same time. So I'm really excited to introduce to you Phoebe and Roxy. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Tell us a little bit about what you're currently doing and who you are. Tell our community.
Yeah. So we're Roxy and Phoebe. Together, we run Pander Design Co., which we've been running for the past 6 years. We specialize in painting murals, and we paint murals all over the country and a few places abroad, and we're just getting started.
That's awesome. I'm going to ask you the million-dollar question. As I ask all of our guests before we get started, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Yeah, I was a rare one. This is Phoebe speaking. Our voices sound the same, so we have to always clarify. But I was always wanting to be an artist. I didn't know what kind of artist, but I just was that kid that just knew from the beginning.
And I don't really remember too much of what I wanted to be. I've always been really indecisive and liking a lot of things, but I guess when I was really young, growing up in San Diego, I wanted to be a marine biologist, spent like every day at the beach. So studying the ocean seemed like a pretty cool thing to do when I was a kid.
Awesome. Tell me a little bit more about where you ladies grew up. What was life like? Roxy, do you want to go first?
Sure. So I grew up in San Diego, California, where our office is based. And I grew up in a kind of unique living situation. My parents got divorced when I was 5 and both remarried, had more kids, had stepkids or whatever. So I was constantly moving from home to home throughout like my entire upbringing, spending the weekdays with my dad, the weekends with my mom, which was a little chaotic. Didn't really have much stability. And yeah, grew up, my dad was very strict, not really allowed to have any opinions. He really wanted me to grow up, never get a job, never work, just get married, have kids. And that is not my vibe or my personality whatsoever. So yeah, those expectations, I think, like probably why I love proving people wrong about me, because that was like my whole upbringing. So yeah.
So interesting. And are you able to share maybe like growing up, you said you moved a lot, right? So what was that like, changing schools, right? Was that difficult for you? Or was it no big deal?
It definitely sucked. It kind of got to the point where I just didn't even really make friends or engage, knowing that, you know, I'm probably going to be changing schools in the next year or maybe 2 years. And just, yeah, didn't really have much stability, didn't have really much consistency or friends. Like at one point, my dad was living in Northern California, my mom was living in Southern California, and had to fly back every single weekend. So just a lot of no stability.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. I think that's just like one of the tough things, right? Growing up, you just kind of have to go with your parents and whatever they say really goes.
Yeah. So then my strict dad, like really super strict, lots of expectations. I finally go away to college to like get some space, figure out who I want to be. And my dad, who was like very conservative, very like tough, ends up going to prison, which was a shock to like me, because he was very like, you know, hardcore, don't break the rules ever. And then on the side, he was doing all this white collar crime and ended up going to prison. So that kind of threw me and my family for a loop for sure.
That must have been tough. I can't imagine. And so it seems like you're already at like a young age, right, going through all these adversities and like things that normally like an adult might be experiencing. So that might even push you to mature a little bit younger.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, definitely had to mature. I was the oldest sibling, so had to take care of my younger siblings and was definitely more of a parent role fairly early on.
Yeah.
Yeah. now my business is my baby. So it prepared me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing. And we'll come back to a little bit in regards to like upbringing in like adolescent teenage years, but I want to get caught up with Phoebe.
My upbringing's boring.
No, don't say that.
She grew up on a cemetery. Yeah. It's not boring.
Always the people who say like, oh, it's boring. I'm not fun. They have like the craziest things to say, right? And you're like, oh my God, tell me more. Tell me more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in comparison to Roxy's, like it breaks my heart because I had a really stable childhood and I'm very grateful for that. Although my parents still continue to drive me insane. They are very sweet and supportive in that way. And did encourage me to do all the sports, do all the things, take every art class because I showed an interest in that. And then took me to visit every art school on the East Coast to see where I wanted to go to college. I don't think we give parents enough credit for taking their kids to visit all these friggin' schools all over. What else about my childhood? I have one sister. We get along and we grew up in Philadelphia, outside of Philadelphia in a suburb. Captain of my swim team, was super into swimming, thought I was going to swim in college, which is funny.
Why is that?
I don't know. Like you think of your sport as so important to your life at that point. And then the thought of juggling that and trying to study art at the same time just makes zero sense. But like when you're in high school, you cling to it. And that's where I made majority of my friends. I had a really nice group of girlfriends. And because we were together 24/7, we had, you know, practice in the morning and after school and on the weekends. So, I grew up next to a cemetery. Yeah. So my house was always like the interesting house for friends to come over and we play in the graveyard. As like it ran up next to our backyard and we had like really, really fun Halloween parties, play hide and seek back there, learn how to ride my bike back there. My sister and I were dancing on a mass grave at one point and Charlotte jumped off and hit her head on another tombstone and cracked her head open.
Oh my goodness. No way. Yeah.
Go sledding back there. Like we did all the things.
So a lot of people get kind of creeped out when you say like cemetery, right? In that whole location. Mm-hmm. So fun fact, I actually go for a walk at least 3 times a week to a cemetery with my dogs. And I absolutely love it. And it's just the place where I find like so much serenity and peace. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I remember like the first times that I did that, I was a little creeped out by it. And I was like, wait a minute, why? Like, why? Why is there just this stigma against like cemeteries? And I remember like at the beginning, I would like walk around and this cemetery, at least it goes all the way back to people being buried in like the 1800s.
Yeah.
Wow. It's like, wow. And it turns out that there's some local factories here that are like famously known like historic wise. And there was like this movement that women started in these factories to make sure that like the labor laws were in place, which they weren't back in the day. And like all of this historic stuff had happened like so close to my house and I had no idea. And here these people were buried from that. So I got so much education from it. So every time I go, I'm like, hi, Nancy, like, hi, whatever your names are, like, hi, Deanna, there's this guy, Denny. And like, I take my dogs and I swear people think I'm crazy, but I'm just like, I don't know. I'm like, if your souls or spirits are anywhere around here, I'm like, I'm providing good vibes to you guys. And I'm thinking of you guys and thank you for the hard work that you did for our current generations.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's so interesting. Yeah. Ours was really old as well. Like honestly, to the point where a lot of the tombstones were falling apart. They're just
not taken care
of. And like a few back to the 1700s, 1800s, no one was ever buried there during like when I lived there, cause it was already full.
Right.
And then from a graphic design standpoint, some of the lettering and typography on these tombstones is really beautiful.
Yes. I'm sure I get you probably got inspiration from that.
I think I did.
Okay. Let's talk about what high school was like. I think, right? I don't know for you ladies, but high school was absolutely like, I will do anything you want, but don't put me back in high school.
Never. Oh God, yeah.
No like, way. No. I'm like, that is the biggest punishment I could have ever received as a young woman.
Yeah.
You're agreeing with me, Roxy.
Yeah, I hated high school. Different experience than Phoebe. Yeah, so I went to a pretty small high school, and it was a very religious school that I was not a part of that religion. So my teachers would literally teach that people that believed what I believed were going to hell. Another fun part about high school was that, again, strict dad made me wear a uniform to a school that did not have uniforms, which was really traumatic. So I did not have any friends because I was the heathen who wore a uniform to school at a school that no one wore uniforms. So that was not fun. Didn't really make any friends at all, and just focused on getting really good grades so I could go away to college. That was like all I cared about.
Yeah. Getting out of there, right?
Yeah.
I was the same way. I was like, I dealt with like a lot of mental, emotional, like physical abuse that I saw my mom like go through, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I have to get out of here. I have to get out of here. So to the point that when I graduated high school, I gave my mom my 2 weeks notice, like thinking that was like a thing.
Yeah.
And I was trying to be respectful. And of course that crushed my mom's heart. And she was just like, you're crazy. You can't do this. I got a job. I'm like, I can do it. Wow. And like, 2 weeks like went by, and like I had my friend come with the truck, and my mom gets home. She's like, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, I gave you my 2 weeks notice. And I laugh now. I'm like, who does that? Who gives their parents 2 weeks notice to like leave the home?
Yeah.
I'm going to be financially free, and I'm going to travel, and I never want to get married. I never want to do these, right? Just like rebel,
I love it.
My parents were also very strict. And I had my mom's, my stepdad who like raised me for most of my life. He was part of the military. So it was just that sort of background. Yeah. He was like a really great dad for me, but I think just marriage wise was just awful. Like they couldn't be more opposite from each other. But I'm like grateful for everything that I went through, right? Cause like we wouldn't be who we are today. Well, it was absolutely like awful. Never want to do it again. Do not sign us up. It's just one of those things, right? You turn into positives.
Yeah.
Phoebe, tell us.
Sorry, I liked high school.
That's so awesome. That's really good. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if I go back now, I'd be so disturbed, but, you know, I judge everyone from afar on Facebook and whatnot, but, yeah, I really, at the time, I didn't think I was like so rah-rah obsessed with high school, but my mom always made fun of me. She was like, you're so like into this. And I'm like, no, I'm not. but yeah, I really love my swim team. I was just obsessed with my swim team and the girls that I got to hang out with all the time, really good friends. And I did well in school. I mean, no one likes waking up early and doing homework and anything like that. But I wasn't like a cool kid, but I wasn't bullied either. So I just had really nice friends. And I, especially my senior year, I just really loved doing all the last time, like this is our last prom, this is our last dance, like getting dressed up for homecoming, like all that was like really fun to me.
Yeah.
And really was enthusiastic.
That's really great. It's really great to see, you know, regardless, well, if we might have not had a really good experience, that there are other people that do have good experiences. I would love to know a story from each one of you, if it's okay. I know bullying is like a really big thing, and I really like to bring that up, right? Because like, no matter how well we do for ourselves, you know, or how much we try, I think we go through this stuff, right? Is there any particular time within your life, say even up to like college, where you were like, wow, like I was misjudged, that hurt my feelings? Like, and I'll give you an example, and I share this story quite oftentimes. I was in Elementary school, it was career day, and I was fourth or fifth grade, and I was about to get up, and they're like, Vanessa, it's your turn. And I was like, so excited to tell everybody that I wanted to be a lawyer. And the classmates that were sitting like near my table were like, the only thing you ever need to remember is to say if you want fries with that. And like, imagine being at that age. I literally was like, what? Like, I didn't understand. And I look back, I was like, I don't get it. And they're like, that's because that's all your people ever do.
Oh my God.
And then the whole class starts laughing, including the teacher.
Whoa.
I just get up and I'm like, I want to be a lawyer because I want to help people, you know, have find their voices. And fast forward today, you know, I'm not a lawyer because I went to go work for a lawyer and I'm like, yeah, not my jam.
Yeah.
But I found other paths and ways to help people find their voices, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
So tell us.
Yeah. I mean, I got it easy because my last name is Cornog. So everyone obviously like made fun of that Cornog, which I've embraced at this point in my life. But I do remember, I mean, college was kind of tough. I didn't get bullied, but I remember feeling just so out of place because I was a basic bitch in comparison to all the like really hipster art kids. So that was really a weird time. And then a specific bullying thing, like I remember in sixth grade, this girl, Julie, I won't say her last name in case she's listening. she was making fun of me because my mom got me a fake Tiffany bracelet that was like sterling silver, but it wasn't like a Tiffany bracelet. And she said something to the whole class about how like, yeah, making fun of it being for being fake and like I alluding to the fact that I was poor or something. And then the teacher called her out on in front of everyone. So that was pretty awesome.
And it's so crazy, right? Like we were like, think about it. Like you were probably like 11, 12.
Yeah.
I was probably like 10 and 11. Like what are the similarities that like this bullying happened around the same age for us? I'm curious to hear your story, Roxy.
I can't think of like a specific thing like a classmate or something said to me, but just growing up, like my dad owned his own business. Mm-hmm. Obviously he didn't do very well, but he would always talk about business and it interests me, but he made it very clear that because I'm a woman, that would not be a path for me. And so that kind of mentality that I grew up with, like, I don't know, for some reason I still wanted to do it, but it was just made very apparent that they're like, and not really having any female entrepreneur role models or seeing that, it just seemed like, yeah, that's not really a thing that women can do.
Wow. That's
and her sister is a business owner now too.
Yeah.
Wow. So he definitely ignited that within the both of you.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I know one of the things that my mom always grew up with her dad, who was just not a nice person. He literally would also tell her, you know, you're not worth anything, like not even a penny, right? And she was like, what? He's like, yeah, you're a woman. Your feelings are not valid. You can't do anything. Like, don't like, and so it's like, I'm so grateful. It's unfortunate that she went through that, but I'm also grateful she went through that because then she raised someone like me. And yeah. I always tell her, I'm like, mom, I'm like, you created a monster, a problem, because you always told me anything is possible. So here I am. I'm like, I have all of these businesses. I'm successful. I'm paying it forward. I'm talking to the community. I'm going to the high school to talk to the kids. I do all these things. And people are like, are you ever going to stop? I'm like, no, I'm like, I'm not going to stop because I have this power within me to do this stuff. She laughs, right? And I'm like, it's always just this domino effect of things, right? Negatives into positives. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing. I know sometimes being vulnerable can be weird or uncomfortable and awkward and can bring up feelings. So I really appreciate that. And I'm holding space for the both of you. What were the things that happened after leaving high school? Like what were the next steps? You know, you already heard about my 2 weeks notice. So,
so I went away to college. I ended up getting to do that. But my dad picked what college that I went to, which ended up kind of working out. I went to Gonzaga University up in Washington. where I met some really great friends and actually reconnected with someone from there that's now my boyfriend. But yeah, so I never had been to Washington. I never went to visit the school. I had really no idea what I was getting into, but I was really excited to gain some independence for myself. And like, you know, I really wanted to take that like social outcast from high school and transform into like a social butterfly, which is what I did. And I made a lot of good friends and I had a lot of fun, but academically it just wasn't the place for me. I had no idea what I wanted to do at the time, but like I could see that I needed to be doing something creative. The school I went to didn't have any, no design department, no art department. So I was just kind of fumbling around taking random classes to see if something would stick, and it just didn't. And I was heavily encouraged by my parents just to like pick something and get a degree. And that didn't really sit right with me. Like, if it doesn't matter what my degree is in, what's the point of having a degree? So I ended up dropping out and, you know, doing things my own way.
Same.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah. Tell us.
Yeah. So I wanted to go not far away. I wanted to go away from Philadelphia just to at least get a different experience. So I went away to Pratt Institute, which is in Brooklyn. And that was a major change because I was in suburban Philadelphia, like privileged little sheltered kid. And then I'm all of a sudden living in Brooklyn as an 18-year-old and the most like hipster school on the planet. And I just did not realize how college was, you know, where you're living. It's not just where you're studying. So I just really felt out of place. So for 2 years, I struggled to get jobs or internships or find a way to like feel at home in the city. But and there was also some like long distance boyfriend BS going on from high school. So that doesn't help when like your boyfriend's at the time is like loving their college. And then, yeah, I just wasn't having a good time. So I ended up transferring after 2 years back to Philadelphia to Temple University and finishing up there. And that was so annoying of a process because they, you know, of course are like, we don't accept any of your credits from the last 2 years. And even though Pratt is like such a, on paper, apparently it's just only the, it's supposed to be a good school. And then they're like, nope, don't accept any of it. So you have to do an extra year. So I ended up doing 5 years of college, which was fine. The fifth year I lived at home. And yeah, I was just kind of ready to go. And I always had this fantasy of moving to California. I had never been here before, but you know, TV makes it look really beautiful. So applied to every single job in California and I happened to get one in San Diego. So yeah, I graduated in May of 2013 and by Labor Day, I was out here. And again, I guess I just like put myself in these like risky situations. Like I didn't know anyone or anything, but, and the job was definitely weird that I took, but it got me out here.
Yeah. That's awesome. And here you're telling us, right, that you're like, you're a simple person and your life's like so calm.
Right.
Literally went from like the East Coast to the West Coast. I don't know that I could do that. Just letting you know. And I consider myself like, yeah, let's go with the flow. Like, let's see what happens. Right. So props to you, right? Didn't we say that at the beginning of the conversation? I was like, hold on, something's going to come out of this. Yeah. So prop, yeah, because it to get out of your own comfort zone, like already to the point where like your lifestyle, your zip code, like culturally, like it's different from one side of the coast to the other. Right. And then having to fit within like the society and what's happening and living in California is definitely just a different breed of itself, right? At least from what I hear or like even visiting, right? That's like, for you to be able to have pulled that off, props to you. That's awesome. That's really cool. Okay. I definitely want to talk about like how you guys like connected. Like, guys went from like, you know, growing up, having your life, growing up and all that good stuff with your families. And now you're college and, you know, you decided to not take that path And then you're like, I'm moving to California. Like, when did it happen? How did it happen? Get it, like, tell us the details.
So a few years before we met, I started going to school for graphic design as I finally realized that's what I wanted to do. Took a couple years of classes of that and then dropped out again because I just didn't think that you would really need a degree to do graphic design. I strongly felt that it was mostly portfolio based, and what do you know is right. And so I dropped out of design school and started working basically just random jobs, tattoo shop, chocolate shop, restaurants, like all kinds of jobs, just like part-time jobs and just creating on the side to figure out what I wanted to do within the design industry. So I started drawing a lot of letters and painting and just having a lot of fun with that. And this was the very early days of Instagram before like everyone thought of Instagram as a business tool. I started just like posting my drawings and paintings every single day and started building a following and realized that that was going to be my tool to be able to work for myself. And so a couple of years, I started doing that in early 2012. And then in 2015, that's when Phoebe found me on Instagram and sent me an email about meeting up, getting drinks, and also talked about starting a meetup group together, which was a really fun idea that we did. And that's how we started working together initially.
Yeah. And then I, at the time, had a really creative job. So I had my first job when I moved out to California and I worked there for 8 months, got through that, and then had the courage to start interviewing other places, got another job, which I worked at for 2 years as a graphic designer. And I don't know, I guess I was getting bored. And so I was just on Instagram a bit and I must've been searching hashtags, and that's how I found Roxy. And I thought she worked for herself at the time. Like, she really positioned it that she was a full-time freelancer. And I was like, oh my God, she's so cool. She has like 15,000 followers. She's a celebrity. And so I emailed her, and it was funny. We just like found it the other day and we were reading it, and it's so formal and just really funny to like hear how we talked to each other back then. And yeah, so we met up for wine and cheese and talked about lettering and Instagram and nerdy design stuff. And then that's when we talked about the meetup group, and she ended up quitting her job in December 2015. Cause she had always had that plan, and she's really the one who inspired me, because I would never have worked for myself. I probably would have bounced around from agency to agency or in-house. So yeah, I quit my job in I can't remember if it's April or May of 2016. April of 2016.
Wow, like almost right after that.
Yeah,
that's awesome. And here again is from the person who said, I'm so simple, like nothing about my life. I just email random people on Instagram and very like professionally just want to hang out with them. But here I have like now gone into my career. Like, I love it. You know, you did again, something like you left your job. Like, that's a really big deal. And I think a lot of women particularly, right, like aspire to do that. So thank you for being role models and like talking about that. Can I ask, like, what were maybe some of the top three things that you were focused on, you know, to make that decision responsibly?
Yeah, I was working a full-time graphic design job at the time where I wasn't really making much money. So I was basically living paycheck to paycheck, didn't have savings at all. So I was doing as much freelance as possible on the side, and I decided to call in sick one day to work because I needed to catch up on my freelance work. It was falling behind. And in that one day of calling in sick, I was able to make more money than 2 weeks at my job.
Wow.
And so that was like kind of the aha moment for me. Like, okay, the time is now, I should just do it. Mm-hmm. Obviously every single day is not like that when you first are working for yourself. But I think I was a little bit naive, I guess, and which is a good thing. Like, I didn't really have a plan. I didn't have any savings, but I just knew that I would be able to make it work. And I did have a little bit of a following on Instagram. So I knew that if I keep posting, more work's gonna keep coming. And that carried me through to when Phoebe quit her job. And then it was a little bit easier. We didn't really think that we were starting a business together. We didn't really think about it. It was just like, well, let's do this project together. That would be fun. And it was just easier to go after work together and kind of be like each other's support system through it. It just felt easier having each other.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I didn't have much of a plan either, even though my parents were a little nervous. The president of my company was nervous. Everyone doubt, like, it was basically nervousness equals doubt. But I remember writing down like, okay, I have $300 coming from this project and like 400 from this project. Like that was actually going to be able to keep me afloat, and thinking like, oh, I have that much project, that many projects in this month. It's going to be like that all the time, which is not the case. But I think just being young and naive, and like, we didn't really have a ton of responsibilities. My rent at the time was $600 a month. So I just needed to be able to afford that and food and whatever, alcohol on top of it. And I had a bit of savings from just over the years. So there was a little bit to fall back on, but I felt more confident having Roxy to lean on. She's already been doing it for 5 months and has been fine. So yeah, it made it easier when we have each other to lean on.
Yeah. So you've been as a team together since 2016.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the lessons that you might have learned together?
Oh yeah.
Blockers that you didn't think were going to be there?
Plenty. Yeah. I mean, I feel like we learn lessons every day, honestly. Definitely the beginning was really rough. We had no idea what we were doing. We both were talented, had the drive, but we just had no idea how to run a business or how to get clients or what we should be pricing. None of that stuff. So, you know, we got our first opportunity to paint a mural. We shared it on Instagram, and that led to another mural 2 months later. So it's like we didn't have anything for 2 months, and then we post that one, and then 2 months later we get another job. So we were just like kind of freaked out, like, this is not working at all. We don't know what we're doing. We need to learn how to run a business. So we actually had reached out to a lot of our peers to try to get information, like, what do you charge? Like, other muralists and things. And no one would give us any information. Or the numbers were just all over the place, which was really scary. So we realized we had to go outside of the creative community to get some of that information. And so we ended up hiring a business coach, which we had no money coming in. So it was a big investment, but, it really, that year of working with him really just transformed us from these dum-dums that have no idea what they're doing to getting to where we are today of like being entrepreneurs first, creatives second, and just really being able to take what we do and what we love and make it something that we could be successful at.
That's awesome. That's definitely something I always talk about. And I actually had two calls earlier today, just mentoring other women of different stages of their life. And they were like, well, what is the thing? Like, what, how is it that you keep becoming a new version of yourself, or like, you know, blossoming into something more? I'm like, I invest in myself. You get what you put in. It doesn't matter what it is that you do. Right. And I think that's also something that we're not taught in school, where you're not taught to invest in yourself and just take it as it is, and that there's no other option. And how is it that whoever it is that you go and hire, whether it's a company or public speaking, you know, whatever, a business coach, anything that it is, how could that possibly really change your life or make it big impact? And quite honestly, I always tell people, don't knock it until you try it, because I started with getting a life coach for myself to also getting also business coaches 3 years ago. And I vowed for the rest of my life, I'm not going back. I'm not going back to that, because it's such a beautiful journey, right? To be able to continue to see life through a different lens, and having someone say to you, there's a way, it's your way, right? that there's a different way and you don't have to keep doing things and following these old patterns. So thank you about talking about that and investing yourself. That is so important. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about your brands together, your business, your company. What's the name? How did you come up with it?
Yeah, at first we were actually called San Diego Letters because that was our meetup group and for just lettering artists in San Diego. And in 2017, we had just been getting sick of only doing lettering work. And we also wanted to do work outside of San Diego. We realized we wanted to travel and whatnot. So it came time to rebrand. And that was really, really hard thinking of a new name. And we wrote down lists and lists and lists of all different options. And it just came down to Pander, standing for P and R, Phoebe and Roxy. And pretty simple. But we wanted it to kind of could be whatever, because we didn't know what Pander was going to turn into. Like at the time, it was just the two of us. But we do design work, but like who knows what that could be in, you know, 2, 3, 7 years, whatever. So that's our main brand. We also have a nonprofit called Ladies Who Paint, which Roxy started as an Instagram account. It all comes back to Instagram. An Instagram feature account, just because we were sick of only men getting featured and getting all the jobs. So it was a feature account first, and then we filed as a 501c3, and then it became a nonprofit mural festival. So this is the second year we're putting it on, that we'll have women installing murals all around downtown San Diego.
That is so beautiful. Oh my gosh. Like I just want to get a flight and go visit. Just be like, hi, I'm here.
Yeah.
My 2 weeks notice.
Yeah, we love that.
Thanks. That's so awesome. Thank you for sharing. Can you talk a little bit more about, okay, you say you get a client and they're like, you know, we're looking to get a mural done, work done. What brings inspiration? Are you the type of people who ask for the liberty to create your own designs, or do you ask for, you know, the client to be involved? Like, what does that look like behind the scenes?
Yeah. So what's great about what we do is that we get to work in so many different industries, which is fun for us because it's always something different. But the clients are all so varied. So like, for example, we've done a lot of work with professional sports teams, and with professional sports teams, while it's a really cool project, you really don't get much creative freedom because there is very, very, very strict brand guidelines for sports teams. So that's where it's like, we have to do something really creative within a very small scope of what we're allowed to do as far as colors and style and all that. And then we'll have other companies like shopping centers or
hotels
where it's a little bit more flexible. Like they have no idea what they want, but they want a mural that people are going to engage with and take photos and share on social media. And that's where we know we're the experts in that department. And so it's great to have clients that trust us. We've painted about 250 murals at this point, so we know what people like to take photos in front of. And it's great when our clients give us that leeway to be able to create what we want.
Yeah. And for our listeners who are wondering where their murals can be found, we will put on the link their website, which has a map of all the locations of the murals, which I thought was so cool.
Yeah.
Like, if you're on a road trip. If anybody's on a road trip, this is like the coolest, you know,
way that'd be so cool.
Find them. That would be super cool. Great. What are future aspirations for the two of you? Could be non-work related too.
Right. We're definitely driven by financial goals. So this year we're on track to do 750,000. So next year, I think we'd love to hit 1 million. And we are moving offices in January. So just get another cool office, but smaller, perhaps a work vehicle. What are our other goals?
Yeah, we really love the education side of what we do. As we had talked about early in our career, we tried reaching out to others in our industry for resources, and there just weren't any at the time. So we've really tried to create those resources for our peers, from pricing guys to like teaching people how to do outreach to get clients and how to put together mood boards and estimates, like all kinds of things so that there people can get help. So we want to just continue building that up and helping our industry, because a lot of creatives and artists especially have a really hard time with the business side and the financial side, because like when you love what you do, sometimes you feel guilty charging for it. So we want to just keep building up our industry, educating more people, and yeah, our book's coming out. So we hope that our book can be a bestseller, but
we have a goal of painting based on or off the map thing. We have a goal of painting in all 50 states. So we've painted in 24. So we have some work to do. We'd love to hit that goal. And yeah, selling lots of copies of our book. We love a TV show. If anyone's out there listening that wants to give us a TV show.
Yeah. You know that PBS is always looking for like creative people.
Yeah, and, like, we'll have to reach out.
For sure. I think that'd be really cool. I mean, they're listening now, so they'll reach out shortly.
Yes, exactly.
Talking about the book, like how did that come about? Tell us.
I can't remember what year, but we were approached about doing a lettering book, which is fine and it makes sense, but we just know so many of our peers who have made lettering books, and we felt like the market was kind of saturated. So we said no to that deal. It was also kind of a bad deal anyways, the contractually, but so waited, had a book agent reach out to us, and that felt like more of an in with getting in front of publishers. And it was kind of a process. You have to put together lots of little samples of what your book would be about. And so we had brainstormed with her about a mural book, but the problem was you can't do a mural book because there's no other mural books out there. For whatever reason, the publishing industry doesn't like to take risks. So basically, if there's nothing else out there like it, it's not them seeing an opportunity, that it's them thinking, oh, no one's interested in that. But how does that happen unless you give someone the first book? So what we had to do was pivot it to not just be about murals, but to be about murals in your home. So it could be kind of an interior design DIY book. And once we tweaked this pitch deck, and we had to do a sample project in someone's home, our agent was able to source it around to different publishing houses. And finally, Story Publishing is who we ended up working with, brought us on. And it's been 3 years in the making. And, you know, there was like a lovely little lockdown in between there, so we couldn't actually go into people's homes and continue doing the projects that we needed to photograph and do. So yeah, lots of hiccups, it long process. But it's finally here.
That's so exciting. And that must have been like just a different creative experience, right? With mm-hmm. its like challenges and
oh yeah.
Yeah. We're used to doing everything ourselves. So it was a little scary for us to hand off a lot of the creative to, you know, they have the in-house team that lays the whole book out for you, chooses the typefaces, and we did have a big say in that, but it's
ultimately
not. Yeah, it's nerve-wracking when you're not the one producing it and doing it everything yourself.
Luckily, we are happy with how it turned out, but we probably were those like nightmare clients yeah. that are like, hey, so can we change this? Can we change that? But yeah, we're excited. It's called Wonder Walls, and it'll probably be out by the time this comes out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
November 9th.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm so excited. I can't wait myself. And I think when I was talking with you ladies on the prep call, I know the listeners can't see this, but this is the wall I was talking about.
That's oh, yes. Awesome.
It used to be this awful, like blue that, you know, like, yeah, you know what I'm talking about? That
yeah.
blue, like, late 90s. Anyway. Right. Okay. Anything else that you want to share with us that we haven't talked about?
We could talk your ear off forever. I don't know. I mean, just everyone listening, up your prices. If you're freelancing, if you're creative, there's no such thing as undercharging, we say, and
overcharging.
I'm sorry. there is definitely such thing as undercharging. Sorry about that. We just always work with creatives that are so nervous about that. And we're like, no, that's not a thing. What else do you want to say?
We always like to encourage, we mentioned that we didn't really have a plan when we started. And if you do have an idea of something that you want to do, just start doing it, because you learn so much more when you're actually doing the thing rather than just like trying to do research and plan about the thing. So just go for it. You might stumble, fumble along the way, but that's okay. You're going to get there so much faster than just like trying to plan until it's perfect, because that's never going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much. Okay. So before we wrap up, I'd love to ask you some fireside fun questions to each one of you. Is that okay?
Yes.
Phoebe, what is your favorite go-to meal?
Well, it depends on if we're celebrating. We always yes. get oysters if we can.
Love.
Well, raw oysters.
To the East Coast, right? They say they have the best stuff because they're closer to Maine. Roxy, are you a tea person or coffee person?
I think I lean more toward tea, or if I'm doing coffee, it's definitely gonna be really sugary.
Yeah, I love that. Phoebe, your favorite type of cocktail or mocktail?
I love a good dirty martini with blue cheese olives.
Yes. Roxy, salty or sweet?
Salty.
Cool. And the final question that I'm going to ask both of you to answer, please, what does it mean to be a creative human to you?
I think being a creative human is just being authentic to yourself. Because when you are, everyone is different in their own way. Everyone sees things differently. Your experience shapes how you view the world and how you think about things. So I think if you're authentic, then everybody is creative in some way.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, I think being creative is in difficult or stressful or just confusing situations, being able to come up with an alternative plan, just having a backup plan always. And in the literal sense, though, I really do believe everyone's a creative human. We always get it like, I can't even draw a stick figure when we're painting. And it's not about like drawing or painting, but like if you listen to a certain kind of music, or you love cooking, or you're really into gardening, like everyone has some sort of creative outlet.
Thank you so much for sharing. I absolutely loved having our conversation. I can't wait to meet you in person. It's happening.
I'm
not kidding. It's so happening. Then we can do part two in person. Live video on Instagram. Would love that. We are going to plug in on the link, the website, the handles, how to follow both Roxy and Phoebe and their company. Please be sure to follow them and share, their journey with other people. Also be sure to follow and support their nonprofit Ladies Who Paint, because that is so awesome what you're doing for the community. I can't wait to see you Ladies Painting International. Have you done that yet?
We have. We have two murals in Australia, and we did have one in Mexico.
It's probably gone now.
Yeah.
That's all good. Thank you so much for being here today. Look forward to seeing you in person in the near future.
Thank you.
And to our listeners, thank you so much for listening to our final episode for season 2. We'll see you soon for an upcoming season.